Good morning. It's not every morning you get called a stable pillar, is it? I'm quite excited about that. I'm going to have to reflect what that means for me. So thank you for asking me to speak today. I was asked specifically to give an update from my trip to the Gambia that I went in the summer. So as well as visiting Fry for half a day, I also went to the Gambia. And I did that as part of an organisation called Amore Europe. And straight away, Amore Europe would like to thank the church, and they did it at the time, but the trustees gave a donation on behalf of the church to Amore Europe this year for the work they do. And it's mainly three strands of what they do, and this is in many different countries. The first one is building, and it can be traditionally it was done building communities and building houses. But for example, the schools I was involved in went with Amore Europe to Belfast this summer, where we did lots of different community projects, but also helped speak to the young people about some of the issues in Northern Ireland and build awareness of there. So there's build. There's also a project that does water filters. And in the Gambia, where I've worked, there's been many different water filter projects. And what's happening is many people are, the water they have is dirty, and it means that their family and them are getting sick, which means they can't work, and is also causing loads of health issues as well. And just water filters that aren't that expensive, but delivered to communities with education as well of how to use them and how to use them effectively. That's another part of Amore Europe. And then the final one is Equip, which I'm part of, which is global training. And that's working with different organisations in countries where they say, we've got an amazing passion for kids and young people. Help us do that. Help us train people. And over the years, usually it's about a 3-4 year project. By the end, what we want is that we don't need to go back or need to go back to that particular area, because they're able to train each other and able to do work there, which has been really exciting this year, being able to see how some of the stuff they've already done has been brilliant in between some of the courses we've done. So this was the third course we've done in the Gambia and the second one that I've done. And you can see various different things here, whether it's a lot of the course is looking into the Bible and what's said there. There's a man there in a rather jazzy shirt. Seemed to, when in Gambia, you can sort of get away with that, can't you? I can't sort of walk down the high street in Darlaston wearing that. We've got there one pot, which is the way that usually and traditionally in Gambia they eat. So it's a big bowl or a big pot in the middle, and then everyone helps themselves. And then it's a lot of skill, because if you've got like the big carrot, you've got to then try and sort of portion up the big carrot and then flick it into the other people's part of the pot. And that's quite a skill, which I didn't really master, as we know. I'm quite uncoordinated. So maybe some aubergine went flying in some local pastors' faces and things, but people seem to be all right with that. And then part of the course, because we're doing about kids' work, it's fun. And a lot of the countries we work with, the reason they say, can you help us, is because what they do as kids' work is usually have, or especially in the Gambia, what they did was they'd have the kids come in an hour earlier to the service, where then the pastor would basically do his sermon again, or first, for the kids, and sort of add little bits on it that he thought was for the kids, and then they'd have to sit through the long service as well. And that was what was kids' work. So the countries we work with are like, how do we engage what we do? So various different things. Top right-hand corner was actually prayer spaces from the 24/7 prayer movement. So we've talked about them. And loads of the Gambians were like, this is amazing. We're definitely going to be using those with children and young people. And then in the middle there, you can see there's a bit of carpentry going on. That is a unity exercise. And what we get is four teams, and we get them all building a crate for oranges to transport down the river. And with that, they all have different tools. So some, and we had to bring these through customs. We had to bring through like saws and drills. And one group had an electric drill, an electric screwdriver. The other team just had gaffer tape. Another team had normal screwdrivers. And then another team had a drill, like a hand drill like this. And they have half an hour to build these crates. Nobody builds a crate in that time. But if they'd all pulled their tools and worked together, they could have. And so you've got people working really hard because they want to get the points, because points mean prizes. They're really on. And at the end, they're like, we've got the best crate. And then we're like, well, actually, like many churches, we haven't worked together here. And if you pooled your resources, you could have done even better and probably have done the crate. And then we actually, from that, had prayer for unity. Loads of people going, well, here's how we can work together in our local churches, which was really powerful from quite a fun activity. And then, so throughout it, loads of fun, but also really Bible-based as well. So we talked a lot about the Holy Spirit, talked a lot about issues such as working with children with disabilities, because often in certain countries, they're just, we don't know what to do there. So loads of different things where just teaching and working together, what it means to work with children and young people and to do it in a wise and honourable way. And a lot of this course three that we did, was about the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And we do a devotional each day, which, if we could have the next slide, Joe, called The River. And we come to the river, and with that, we just put a bit of material down the room to help represent it. But it's to think about the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And for me, that was a really important part of the course and really impacted me. So I wanted to do a little bit of the river with us today. Is that okay? Well, even if it's okay, I'm going to do it anyway. I've got the microphone. But thank you to those who said yes. So we're going to look at that idea of water. And water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And think how that can work in the different things that we do. And water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. We've seen it where it cleanses and heals, where people go to the river to be cleansed, such as Naaman in Kings. We talk about how people go to the well for water quenching their thirst, and actually Jesus talking about him being the living water. And loads of times in the Bible is the Holy Spirit mentioned as a river. And we're going to look at verses from Ezekiel 47. And with that, that is talking about river flowing from the temple. And the latter part of Ezekiel is all about the temple being restored. But actually, individuals and together, we are a temple for the Holy Spirit. Hopefully you know that in 1 Corinthians 6:19 it says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And together in Ephesians 2:21-22, it says, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And Ezekiel has three different visions of God's temple throughout Ezekiel. So the first one, the first vision of the temple, Ezekiel sees the glory of God leaving the temple because of the people's idolatry, people doing their own thing, and then that glory going from the temple. And then in the second vision, he sees the glory of God coming back into the temple. And it says this, the glory of God comes in like the roar of rushing water. And then in the third vision, he sees the river flowing out from the temple. It's a river that brings life, nourishment, and healing. And we're the temple, and the Holy Spirit is that river. And before the river can flow from us, it needs to flow through us. Before we can give out, we need to be had in from the Holy Spirit flowing into us. And for me, it was my first time in Gambia leading a team. When I say leading a team, it was me and another lady called Julie. But I still had some of the logistics and things. And both of us were like, we've never done this course before. And for us, it was really important to have the Holy Spirit feeding into us as we were giving out. And as we kept praying that, then verses like this kept coming up that made us go, oh, we're on the right track here. But also, it was brilliant that my house group, my journey group, praying for me throughout, and other people here, thank you. And one of the things, and it's great that we've had our young people go to Thrive, it isn't just that we want the Holy Spirit to bless us, so we're blessed and we go, oh, that was a lovely time, I jumped a little, marvellous. Is actually, as I've heard young people say, they want to impact their schools. The whole thing of Thrive this year was beyond. What can they do beyond? And it's that thing of the Holy Spirit going into us so we give out. And on the screen now, you'll see, if we skip a couple, and on to the next one now. One of the things we were so encouraged this year was what happened in between us coming from doing course 2 last time to course 3 this time. Because when we were doing sharing last time, a lot of people say, yeah, I wanted to do more kids and youth work, but maybe I didn't do as much as I could. This time, there was a team that really felt they should go out into villages that never had kids clubs before. And this year, I think it was 7 or 8 new kids clubs between 50 to 100 people were planted in villages that never had it. And also, people who were like, ooh, I've never really wanted to do kids ministry before, now have a real passion for it. And actually, there are a couple of people in there who, last year we thought, they don't really get this. Oh, have they got what we're talking about? And they're the people who've been driving this work. And you can see it's very simple, out in the shade, but using, you might see at the bottom right, that's a game of hockey that if you've done kids ministry ever with me, I've used that loads, made out of newspaper and tape. But really simple. We've got a story there, bottom left, where they've done pictures on flip chart paper. And it's, you might say it's not all singing, all dancing. It doesn't have all the lights and bells and whistles of Thrive. But for the Gambian villages, this has been absolutely brilliant. So it was so worth it going out and seeing what they've done in the meantime. And you'll have heard this week, if you've seen the notices that seem to expand every time you get an email, doesn't it? Like, starts at like, here's one notice this week, and then by the end, it's here's 754 for you. So keep up with them. But Jane is going to Bulgaria. When are you going? Saturday. And thank you to those who've been bringing, it was odd when you see, when I'm going to say this, but thanks to those who are bringing men's pants and socks for Jane. Hopefully you saw the bit new, but also if anyone wants to contribute and say, well, I can't go to Littlewoods anymore, it's not on, but it's not open, but I will give you some money for pants and socks and underwear and things like that for men, then please see Jane. Oh, okay. Okay, so we might need some cleansing with water and fire of what's there. But I think it'd be really good if we just prayed for Jane, because, as I said, I found it being really helpful, the prayer that was said to me. So, Andre, would you be able to just pray for Jane as she goes to Bulgaria, please? Get that image out your mind, folk.
I don't think I should, really. I mean, let's pray then. Lord, we thank you for these opportunities that come our way, for many of us, this kind of opportunity would not arise. But we thank you for Jane and what she's done there over the years. And we pray that this journey will go absolutely smoothly. There'll be no hiccups along the way, that the travelling will be absolutely great and the reception there will be marvellous. So, Lord, we pray your blessing upon it as she takes each step of the journey, that she herself will get something from it and be inspired again by what you are able to do by taking that first step. So, Lord, we pray you'll bless her on the journey in the name of Jesus, and all the folks that are going to receive these items as well, that your blessing will be on the whole venture in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. So with it, that idea of the Holy Spirit flowing through us so it then flows out. And for each of us, it isn't that every one of us, that flowing out is going abroad. But thinking, how does the Holy Spirit flow out through you? And it's really important to get the Holy Spirit flowing in, because we can say things, but if we are actually, if we're not living it, then the power is not with it. It's what's called the law of mumps and measles. And you might not have heard of this, but I could have measles. I don't, but imagine I've got measles, okay? So I've got measles. But I'm saying to everyone, I've got mumps. I've got mumps. I've got mumps. Okay? So I'm telling you I've got mumps, but I've actually got measles. But I'm going, I've got mumps. I've got mumps. I've got mumps. What are you going to catch off me? You're going to catch the measles. You're not going to catch what I'm saying. You're going to catch what I've actually got. And that's what's really important with the Holy Spirit living inside us and going through us. Because we've seen over the years, haven't we, many people, whether it's online or personally, who said, I've got this. God's doing this. But actually, that's just them saying rather than what's living inside them. So people catch more of what we are than what we say. And we're going to look at this vision that Ezekiel has of the river flowing from the temple. And there are different lengths of water in it. So it starts up, there's ankle-deep water, there's knee-deep water, then waist-deep water, and then water too deep to swim in. So that you have to swim in, sorry, it's too deep to stand. And if we go on to the next pictures, Joe, this is actually Folkestone on Boxing Day, where people from a more Europe were raising money by doing the sort of Boxing Day swim. I think you can get, it looks cold, doesn't it? And for them, it was that idea of, do you just sort of go ankle deep because you don't want to plunge into that icy water? But that's what they did, and they raised lots of money for a more Europe doing that. But for us, it's actually that idea of these depths represent depths of surrender. And for each of us, wherever you're thinking about God working with you, I want you to think now, and we're going to pray together. So if the band could come up and provide a bit of background music, we're going to look at the idea of the deeper we go into God's river, and the more it releases the Holy Spirit to flow in us and flow from us to others. So what I'm going to ask you to do is close your eyes. Now, there are some actions that we say as we go on. For many of you, you may want to, because the actions include standing, sitting, lying, and things like that. For most of us, we will just picture that in our minds. That's absolutely fine. However, if somebody does feel, look, in a bit of space, I want to actually do the actions again, that is totally up to you. But as we've got our eyes closed and we've just got a bit of music in the background, I'm going to read Ezekiel 47, 1 to 3. And then for each of those different lengths of the water or depths of the water, I'm just going to help us think about some things that we can pray through. And please do some business with God in this time. Remember, at the end, we're going to chuck the prayer ministry team into the deep end, and they'll be over there to pray for you as well. But let's just pray through this together in Ezekiel 47. In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. Imagine you are standing ankle deep in the river. Just reflect on that moment where Jesus got up from the table, the Last Supper, and wrapped a towel around his waist and filled a bowl of water and began to wash his disciples' feet. Allow Jesus to wash your feet. Just remember, like with the flowing in and then flowing out, before we can wash the feet of others, we must first allow Jesus to wash our feet. Then carrying on in Ezekiel, he measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. So imagine you are knee deep in this river. And remember that Jesus went on to say, in the same way I have washed your feet, you are to wash each other's feet. We kneel in humility as servants. We surrender to you, Jesus. We let go of our pride and self-centeredness. We receive your heart of compassion for others. Carrying on in Ezekiel, it says he measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was up to the waist. Imagine you are waist deep in the river. Relax and enjoy sitting at your Father's feet. Reflect on that moment where Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus while Martha was busy and stressed. Remember, Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. We surrender to you, Jesus. We let go of striving and stress. We receive your peace. And then finally, he measured off another 1,000. But now it was a river that I could not cross because the river had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. Imagine you're lying in the river. You're surrendered. You have to go where the river takes you. And there comes a point in our journey with God where we have to take our feet off the bottom and dare to flow with where the river takes us. We surrender to you, Jesus. We let go of fear and control. We give you permission to take us where you want us to go. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We are sorry for times where we've done things in our own strength rather than let your Spirit flow through us. Help us be people who rely on you, who surrender. And we pray for those now who are challenged to do something as a response, whether it's in their schools, whether it's to go somewhere, whether it's in their workplaces, in their neighborhoods, their communities, or in this church, we pray that your Spirit will fill them to do the work as they give out. We pray for a more Europe. We thank you for them. We pray there'll be more trainers raised up both here and around the world, and that your message to children and young people would carry on and bless people like we've heard today. Help us rely on you and help us surrender. Amen. Amen. As I said, We do have the prayer ministry team at the end. So anything that's been talked about today, whether it's anything Mick said in communion, what I've said, or just something you want prayer for, please, they'll be at the circle of trust at the front there. But also they do have blue lanyards on, so you may see some people around as well. So please say, I'd love prayer, and they would love to do that with you. We're going to finish by singing the song King of Kings that Gemma led us in earlier, because that just sums up the message that we're carrying, doesn't it? It goes through what Jesus did from the very beginning and then what he's got for the church to do as well through the Holy Spirit. So let's stand and sing that together. Thank you, team.